A reading from the book of Job, chapter 38, verses 1 to 18. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness. When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place. When I said, 'This far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt.' Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light, and their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this." This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20. There were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born for you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, and the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those with whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were told just as they had been told to them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning, everyone. story about a vicar who loved to preach a good sermon. After one, which he judged to be a right cracker, he was standing by the door and one of his parishioners shook his hand and said, "Vicar, your sermon today was like the mercy and peace of God." The vicar was delighted by this high praise. But when he got home, he remembered what the Bible said about the mercy and peace of God, that they endure forever and pass all understanding. So, whatever you do, whatever you think at the end of this sermon, I hope that you don't describe it as being like the mercy and peace of God. But seriously, where do you find your peace? Is it the moment when the children are asleep, the washing up is done, and you can have a glass of wine whilst watching something mindless on TV? Is it the moment you are lost in a good book, song, or film? Is it on top of a hill, looking at the beautiful scenery and the sounds of nature? Is it all these things and more? Because peace can sometimes feel quite elusive in this hectic world, and it's always something to be treasured. It's what the angels exclaim that is God's wish to all he favours, given to the shepherds in our reading from Luke. Luke 2, verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to all those on whom his favour rests." Note how everyone gets something here. God gets the glory that is due to him, and those on earth get his peace. They're connected. It's not just two separate points, God's glory and our peace, but they're related. God's glory is first, and the consequence of that is peace on earth, crucially on those his favour rests, with the implication that this is true for in the specific case of the shepherds. And what do the shepherds do then? They find Jesus and they give glory to God. They find peace in the wonder of the child that God has sent. This is where our passages are linked. They are linked by wonder and the peace that it brings. In our passage from Job, we are called to wonder at the might of God the Creator. This passage actually reminded me of a song from the Disney film Moana. I've absolutely no idea of the context, because I've never seen the film, but Ava is currently in a very Disney phase. And after she's listened to Let It Go, Please Send Help, the album she likes has a song called You're Welcome, sung by a character called Maui, who's played by The Rock, of all people. Anyway, Maui is an adaptation of a Hawaiian demigod who sings a song remarkably similar to this passage, but I digress. The point is that this song is about power and might. It is the wonder of staring at a massive mountain and feeling small, or standing next to a huge jet engine knowing that you're about to be powered through the skies at 600 miles an hour in a few minutes. It is those things times a thousand and personified in God, whose agency to create and to change far exceeds what we could ever aspire to. It is this wonder that allows us to see ourselves in contrast to true power and to find peace in our powerlessness. But then contrast this with the wonder of a baby born in poverty in an outpost of the Roman Empire. Born, and I kid you not with this, in a tower, in a town twinned with Glasgow, the indignity. The wonder of the shepherds is not at the birth of a baby. That's not an uncommon occurrence, even if it can be a wonderful moment. The wonder was in who the baby was. It was at the sight of the angels telling them what they would find and then finding it. It was in the promises of who this baby would turn out to be, the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord. That is what led to their praising and their consequent priest. Messiah, Christ, Lord are important titles. They're the major offices of Jesus, that is the Deliverer, the Messiah, the Master, Lord, and King, Christ. These passages then give us two contrasting images of peace, one in the inescapable hugeness of God, and one in the inescapable vulnerability of God made man. But let's take a step back and ask ourselves, what is peace in the Bible? We get hints of this in the passage, but it's about seeing ourselves in contrast with the power and majesty of God. But it's also in the knowledge of what God will do for you. In this, we see that the concept of peace in biblical terms is in the security of knowing God. The God who is great, but also the God who will do anything for us, even humbling himself. A humility we see at Christmas in the manger and at Easter in the cross. Paul says this in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We have peace because we now stand in the grace of God. We know him through Jesus Christ. And how is it that God chooses to reveal himself to us? Surely the images of Job are how God should be revealed. Verses 16 and 18. Have you journeyed into the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the deepest darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. These are rhetorical questions. This is set in the ancient story of a man called Job who loses everything and mourns what he has lost. And God eventually appears to Job. And this passage charts the first things that God says to Job. They set the scene of who Job is talking to. But the God within these images is elusive. The story of Job gives us a clear sense of who we are in contrast with God, but it doesn't give clarity on the full character of God. Instead, it is in Christ that we see the full character of God. Romans 5 again, verses 6 to 8. You see, at the right time, when you are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This centers our praise and peace, not just on the power and majesty of God, but on what God has done for us. To understand this, you must know that Paul has established and preached both the humanness and the divinity of Christ, that he is both God and man. A way to understand this, coming from some of the great theological debates of the early church, is to imagine wine mixed with water. They're no longer divisible. It's not like mixing water and oil. In the same way as water and wine are mixed, Christ's nature is not divisible as one bit being God and one bit being man. No, he was fully man and fully God. So when Christ the man died on the cross, God died on the cross as well. That's the character of God, the God who is as powerful as described in Job, but died on the cross because he loves us. Yet, the story is not over. I get a bit annoyed sometimes at the idea that Christmas is the beginning of the journey to the cross. Sure, it is, but it doesn't stop there. The great Christian festival is not that of Good Friday, absolutely central though it is. No, the great Christian festival is Easter. It is in the resurrection of Christ that we also come to the knowledge of God. This is Paul's next point in Romans 5, verses 10 and 11. He says, "For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God, through whom our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now been received into reconciliation. It is in Christ's resurrection that we find life. God is not the God of death. The cross is incomplete without resurrection. And the resurrection is not just the fulfillment of Christ's mission, but the promise of our resurrection, that death is defeated, that despite everything, God's love wins. All of this is bound up in the small baby that the shepherds go to see. All of it is in the message given by the angels. It's in this knowledge that God gives us his peace. This, then, is a deeper kind of peace, an existential peace, one which, as the joke at the beginning of our sermon points out, lasts forever, unlike this sermon, although I'm not quite done yet. Because verse 10 is also worth noting in Luke. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. The message is for all the people. But all the people haven't heard the message. And how can we keep it to ourselves? The shepherds saw a small, albeit remarkable, part of Jesus' story, and they could not keep their praises bottled up. And we have been given the knowledge of a God who, though almighty, poured himself into the vulnerability of a human child, who suffered death on a cross because of his love for us, and rose again to life in the ultimate vindication of love over death. It is that message that we have the brilliant opportunity to share. That peace which is offered to all people, young and old, that we can talk about over Christmas. Surely, in this broken and challenging world, this is a message that we should be shouting from the rooftops. That is why things like Messy Church last week were so amazing. 200 people hearing about the wonderful story of Christmas, of God's peace being given to all people. And now this is the point where the sermon veers away from the peace of God, because I'll end it with a prayer. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful good news proclaimed to the shepherds in that field near Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. We thank you that the promise of knowing you is as open to us now as it was to them. We thank you that in knowing you, your love for us and your victory over death, we can find true peace. And we thank you that you have given us the responsibility to share that message to all people. We pray that this Christmas we will be true to that mission, your mission, and shine as a light in Penge. Amen.